Welcome to episode 35 of Your Kids Next Read podcast, in which we talk about books and reading for kids of all ages. And if you love listening to us each week, we do hope you'll consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts to help get our year off to a flying start. I'm Alison Tate, author of middle grade adventure series The Mapmaker Chronicles, The Adaban Cipher, and my latest The Maven and Reeve mystery series. And I'm here with my co-host, the outstanding Megan Daly, celebrity teacher librarian, blogger at Children's Books Daily, and author of Raising Readers, How to Nurture a Child's Love of Books. Megan and I, along with our good friend, author Alison Rushby, are founders of the Your Kids Next Read community on Facebook. Search for Your Kids Next Read there to join us. So, I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat, and I'm hoping you'll now tell me, as a princess, what's been happening in the land of Megan this week.
I have been, oh my gosh, doing so many meetings on Teams because it's Teacher PD week here in Queensland, for me anyway, for us, and I've just been sitting on Teams with headphones on, looking at, you know, 37 people in little squares in different meetings. It's been a lot. And the beekeeper is in Orange and I've got the kids. So it's been a little bit of a juggle. My calendar is extremely overfull, and I have a very dear friend, Kim, who often says that my calendar makes her come out in hives. She feels very unwell when she looks at my calendar, but it's been a very busy week. I've had the eldest child extracting honey with some of the beekeeper's team, and that's been keeping her extremely busy and smelling very nice. She smells like honey every day. The middle two have been whittling spears at Wildlings, and the littlest one has been having a very good time living his best life with a mixture of nanny and cousins and vacation care. But it's just been a week of, yeah, organization.
It's, you know, the thing is too, it's only January. Like, for you to be so busy and it's only January, it kind of brings me out in hives as well. That's one thing that you don't notice that. I don't think you notice that until you see other people in the middle of it. But when your kids get older and that ebb, you know, that stuff kind of all ebbs away a little bit as they get older. I mean, you're busy, but you're busy in a different way. And it's, yeah, I think it is like childbirth. I think you just kind of like block it all out until you see it again and go, oh, that's right. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. But yeah, crazy. I don't know how you sort of juggle all that stuff.
Well, you just kind of do, don't you? I mean, you don't have a choice. You just do it.
No, you don't have a choice. That's exactly it. You do not have a choice. Well, I've been busy this week too, but in a slightly different way. I have been cheating on you, it has to be said. I have been flinging myself out there in other podcast areas. I'm in the latest episode of the Secrets of the Green Room podcast.
Oh, I did see that, yes.
Well, it was quite interesting, you know, because I had a listen to it. We actually recorded that a little while ago, and I had to listen to it before I shared it because I couldn't remember what I'd said. It's always a good idea to actually listen to yourself before you sort of put it out there. And she must have got me. Irma Gold is the host of that or co-host of that, and she's the one that did the interview with me. And she's an author of adult and children's fiction as well. And she must have got me on a very honest day. Like, obviously I was having a very honest day because she asked me about, you know, the reality of being a children's author. And there's a lot of discussion there about, you know, being on the kids' table at the wedding. And I think it had to do with the fact that a couple of the big sort of big lists had come out about all these books that people were worried about, you know, were going to be stuck on boats and weren't going to make it, you know, for Christmas. So we obviously had the conversation before Christmas. And there was not a single children's book on, you know, on those lists. Like, it was like almost like we don't care about the fact that, you know, half of Santa's presents are stuck on these boat, you know, that's off the coast of wherever. And I think I just must have had a very big
moment.
Did you
rant?
There was no rant. Okay. Fortunately, I wasn't ranty. I just talked about the fact that, you know, how, you know, we are often relegated to this idea of being, you know, the kids' table right up the back, you know, at the banquet, and nobody really notices if we leave early, and, you know, so just, you know, maybe send a nanny in to look after us. But so that was an interesting one. But I talked a lot about my writing process and all of those sorts of things as well. And then the other thing I've been doing this week is listening to the first mixes of the new Joe Visser EP. Joe Visser is my 18-year-old son. He's just recorded his second EP. His first one came out when he was about 13, consisting of six original songs. And I have a few of those CDs, which I'm just desperately signed. I made him sign them at the time, and I'm sort of hoping they'll become a collector's items at some point in the future. But I've heard the six new songs that he's recorded, and they sound amazing. It always astonishes me that the songs that I hear, you know, in those very embryonic forms, as he's kind of writing them in his bedroom on his guitar, listening to them as a full song. And in this case, he's actually recorded four of them as though a full band is in the room. He plays all the instruments on the EP, all of them, but it sounds like he's in there with a full band, does his own backing vocals. And I said to him, because he plays, you know, piano, drums, bass, guitar, and then there's several instruments in there that I haven't heard before. And I said to him, you know, did Chloe, who produced it with him, did she play those? He goes, oh no, that's me. I said, but you don't know how to play said instrument. He goes, oh, I do now.
That's amazing.
Make me laugh. But anyway, you can follow him at Joe Visser Music on Instagram and Facebook for updates. And if you know an aspiring musician, a young musician, get them to follow too, because he's sort of like, you know, is sharing his recording process and the various updates of what's happening with the EP. And I know from experience how much it helps them to see other kids doing it, to see kids who are just those couple of years above them or ahead of them in the process, to see them actually, you know, getting it done and how they go about it. Because he's obviously been doing that with, you know, older friends of his for years now, and it makes a huge difference to just so that, you know, okay, if so-and-so can do this, I can too.
I can too.
And this is how I do it. And I'm looking at what they're doing on social media, and I'm getting myself on TikTok, and I'm getting myself – I was on TikTok as well at Joe Visser Music. I'm getting myself on TikTok, and I'm getting myself on Instagram, and I'm doing reels, and I'm doing this. And it's been really interesting to watch him just really take charge of all that stuff, because I was doing it for a long time, but now I'm not. And let's just say I'm very glad that I'm not. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. All right, so let's talk about our book mail for this week. What have you got for us, Megan?
Oh, I have got some absolutely beautiful books this week, two picture books and one YA. My first picture book is Our Country Ancient Wonders by Mark Greenwood and illustrated by Franne Lissac, and they are a husband and wife team. I adore everything they do, particularly, I have to say, the books that they do together, and this one is just wonderful. It's going to be really great for primary school libraries, but also a really good one to have at home, and I think I'm going to gift this one to some family friends who've just arrived from England. I'll read you the blurb. It says, adventure is out there. Journey through time in search of Australia's ancient wonders. Discover dinosaur trails and fossil-filled caves. Climb ice age peaks. Wander in a maze of prehistoric domes. Explore lava tubes and meteorite craters. Our country is calling. Now, Mark Greenwood does a fantastic text always. His writing is really, really good. It's very engaging. He has a personal passion for sort of rocks, gems, and ancient wonders, and that really shines through in the writing. His writing is just, it really nails it. I don't quite know how to describe it, but this is a short narrative nonfiction text, which Walker Books does so very well. So there's, you know, a sampling of information about each of these places. I'm just looking at the page on Winton where the dinosaurs are, and there's a great little bit of nonfiction information, but it's not too much. So this is the sort of book that I think you would use with grade 2 to 5s, and it's just fantastic. And Franne's illustrations are beautiful. They are. I just love them.
Just, yes, I love them too. Mm. I just have loved everything I've ever seen illustrated by her.
They're just so rich and vibrant. Like I would love, one day I want a massive piece of her artwork on my wall.
Yes, it is the kind of artwork that I would be just in line for.
Absolutely.
Like just to have, just amazing. Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. And how are the end papers, my friend? Oh, you haven't mentioned the end papers.
I was getting there. They're beautiful. It's a map of Australia and it's just beautiful. Again, like I think that would make a beautiful large poster for a child's bedroom or my library, for example. No, the end papers
are amazing.
Just
putting that out there.
Just putting it out there. If you could just do a poster, that would be great. But no, I just feel like you can really, and look, obviously most people aren't going to know when they're reading this book that Mark and Frané are married, but there's just this real energy in their books when I just feel like they work really well together. And the books that they do together, I always just know they're going to be great. And I just feel so very proud of them. Love them. Yeah, I have met them in real life as well. They are delightful. A lot of fun. My second one is Mrs. Koala's Beauty Parlor by Catherine Jinks and illustrated by Tanya McCartney. Now, this one is... oh, it's just beautifully illustrated by Tanya. It has sublime end papers, can I just say? And it's a counting book, so it's accounting. It's about Mrs. Koala and her beauty parlor and all of the native animals. Oh, no, actually, they're not all native. They're sheep as well and all sorts of animals that come to her beauty parlor to get things done. But it's basically counting down from 10. And so it's a counting book. So it's definitely for an early childhood audience. My favorite page is 5 pot-bellied pigs get pierced. And they're having some body piercings done. And they're just hilarious. One of them's covered in full body tats. And it's
that's hilarious. Are any of them in there getting tattooed, or is it just
No, there's no tattoos.
Piercing is as far as we go.
But I do have a good illustrator friend at the moment who's doing a book on tattoos for children, so I'm looking forward to that. But no, Mrs. Koala's Beauty Parlor is just a really beautiful one. Great counting book, very, very giftable. And Tanya McCartney is really just, she just really is going great guns with her illustrating. So proud of her. And then my YA one is called Fish Out of Water by Kate Hendrick. Finn the swimmer, Finn the winner, Finn who works hard and pushes through and never gives up. Or just Finn, and whatever Finn could be. Life is pretty simple for 15-year-old Finn. Just keep following the black line in the pool, but in a moment, it all changes. Distracted by a familiar face in the crowd, he falters on the blocks and loses not just the race, but the single-minded focus that has driven him this far. It just looks to me, and I've only just started it, and then it got ripped out of my hand by my 13-year-old. So I have actually just stolen this from her bedside table. But I do think this is going to be a really... just a great real life. I love the stuff that Tex does, and it just sounds like a really interesting book. So I'm really looking forward to reading the rest of that one.
I just like the fact that his name's Finn and he's a swimmer.
It's working for me.
Right there. I'm in.
I know.
Well, I've got some exciting book mail this week. I have got the latest, the greatest, possibly the greatest, new Friday Barnes novel. Which is very, very exciting. Our favourite girl detective, Friday Barnes, is back with a whole new mystery to solve. And it's a good one because we didn't think we were going to get another Friday Barnes. We thought Friday Barnes was done. Yep. But no, Friday Barnes is back. And R.A. Sprat books have sold over 500,000 copies in Australia and New Zealand. They are hugely, hugely popular. This this series is just a big favourite with middle grade readers all over the place. I'm very much looking forward to being back with Friday. And the dedication is beautiful. To all the young people of 2021, I hope you've had a chance to read more than usual. Cherish the stories from this time. You will carry them with you for the rest of your life. And remember, when you have a good story, it's important to tell it.
So that's the photo of that dedication
yesterday. Beautiful, isn't it?
I just thought it was really beautiful. Yeah.
Lovely, lovely sentiment. So that's that was my first one. So that's a middle grade one. I've got a junior fiction chapter book. We have mentioned the Mertales series before by Rebecca Timmis. We have the third book in the series called The Great Treasure Hunt. It's heavily illustrated. It's kind of like a 6 to 8, 6 to 9.
I gave it to my 6-year-old neighbour yesterday.
And it's one of those ones that the first one came out about the same time as around about our first podcast episode. And I have watched it grow within the Your Kids Next Read community as a word of mouth recommendation. So it's always interesting to me to see, you know, which books start to be recommended, because, you know, when we first started the group, it was a lot of old favourites coming up over and over again. But I've just noticed in the last year or two that they are starting to be supplanted and replaced by sort of newer books that are coming through. And this is one that is coming up regularly as a recommendation in this kind of, you know, 6 to 9-year-old chapter book area. So well done, Rebecca Timmis. You're making some good headway there. And the last one that I have is a picture book called Tiny Wonders. And it is by, and I'm probably going to get this wrong and I apologize, Sally Sewell Han, who is a Australian Korean author, I think. Korean Australian artist, passionate about creating stories and illustrating heartwarming picture books for all ages. It's a lovely looking book. It is beautiful. It is about dandelions. It is about weeds that are, you know, I've always loved that quote about weeds just being plants in the wrong place. I've always loved it. It's actually something that resonated with me enough to kind of include it in a story that I've written. And it's a lovely book about sort of like bright little spots of sunshine in places that you don't necessarily expect to see them, or in places where they're possibly disregarded. So it's called Tiny Wonders. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. It's a read aloud to, you know, younger children to kind of sit and just look through the illustrations and follow the dandelion seeds. I mean, who has not made a wish on a dandelion?
Oh, absolutely.
And watch those seeds blow off into the ether. So I recommend that one. I loved reading it myself, and I think it's one that kids will also love. So that was our book mail for this week.
Book clubs for tweens and teens make reading social and help keep up the reading momentum. Author and educator Megan Daly has been setting up book clubs at schools and in her community for many years and has witnessed the long-term benefits and the absolute joy of book clubbing with young people. Now, in her Build a Book Club e-course, Megan shows you, step by step, how to do it all at your school, bookshop, or in your community. From how to choose books, to suggested questions, to further reading, and more, Build a Book Club has everything you need. Visit childrensbooksdaily.com/shop to get started today. That's childrensbooksdaily.com/shop.
Right, Megan, let's move on to our bingo question of the week. Now, bingo questions are the questions that come up over and over again in the Your Kids Next Read Facebook community. And if you haven't joined us there, just search for Your Kids Next Read on Facebook to find us there and join 22,000 other, you know, book lovers and people who are desperate to help you to get the best next read for your kid, no matter what their interests might be. Now, this week we're going to talk about audiobooks for kids because I have noticed that it's something that is again coming up regularly. I think probably because of the summer holidays is the kind of thing that, you know, people are looking for them for the car. We have touched on this before in previous episodes with regards to other subjects, but this time we're actually going to focus on the audiobook. And of course, you know, there was a bit of debate a few years ago about whether audiobooks were real books, and we did all of that. But I actually, I don't feel as though that's the case anymore. I don't think there's any debate anymore. I think people are just like, let's get our stories however we can. Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally. And I've got a section in my book, Raising Readers, about exactly that, that audiobooks are, you know, are wonderful. We often call it ear reading in schools, and it's a completely legit and wonderful way to read a story. They also take away the mechanics of a reading a text and enable children to visualize the story, the setting, and the characters in their head. So they are quite an immersive experience, you know, particularly if you've got some EALD students or students with sight difficulties or low interest readers or children who are unable to read print or settle to reading for a variety of reasons. Audiobooks remove barriers to stories, but they are for everybody. I myself listen more and more to audiobooks. I'm constantly listening to audiobooks and when I'm doing all manner of things, and they help everybody, not just children, to develop attention and listening skills. And, you know, there's quite a lot of children who aren't able to make it through a long children's book being read to them, but they will make it through the same story in audio because they get carried along by the sound effects, the music, the expressive voices of the actors and the storytellers. And, you know, I just think there's so many benefits. Audiobooks help introduce children to texts which might be above their reading level. You know, the expressive voices of professional narrators provides a fluent reading of a text, which presents proper use of punctuation and cadence and all of those things. To me, there are so many benefits, and I talk about this with parents at school all the time. And in a lot of schools, do check out if your school library has access to things like Belinda audiobooks, Wheeler's ebooks. Your local public library will have audiobooks which are available for download. And I'll link in the show notes to a blog post I did some years ago now. I think it's back in about 2013. But it's still, you know, part of that blog post formed what I talked about in my book, where I talk about some of the benefits of audio stories and where best to find them. So I'll link that in the show notes.
Do you think it's beneficial? Because something that does, there is a bit of discussion sometimes about, you know, whether or not it's worth having the kid read along with the audiobook. Do you think that's beneficial or not?
That is beneficial in a school context where we're teaching a particular skill. But at home, I really discourage that because for me, much of the purpose of an audiobook, and a lot of experts would say, is it takes away the barriers to story. And if you then stick the text in front of the child and ask them to read along, you're not taking away those barriers. If you're doing it for a particular teaching purpose, absolutely have the book in front of them. But if you are doing it because you want to immerse your child in story, and you want them to be able to sit and listen for a whole story, no, absolutely forget the text.
Audiobooks were not really, because my boys are a bit older, they were not really a fact. They weren't really a factor in our reading kind of experience, and still not. Like, the boys do not listen to audiobooks. I now listen to audiobooks because I got into them mostly through the kind of pandemic situation, and also because I kind of segued into them from podcasts. So I was listening to lots of true crime podcasts, and then one day I just thought I need to know that this works out well. So I decided I decided at that point that I would try crime fiction on audiobook to see how that went, because you know there's going to be some kind of a resolution, whereas with true crime podcasts there's not always a resolution, and I find that deeply frustrating. So,
and I think that's what a lot of adults would say, that podcasts are great for like short, sharp bits of information, but sometimes we want to really immerse ourselves in a narrative which has that, like you said, a resolution. And so, and also we're so busy, aren't we? So I know a lot of young mums now listen to audiobooks, and I certainly listen to audiobooks when I'm cooking dinner and want to block out the noise of four children. So I think we've really come full circle. We're trying to get more back into long form reading. We maybe don't have the time to sit and do it, but hey, we can, you know, be doing it while we're doing other things.
What do you think about it? Because we're talking about young mums a lot of the time here, who are busy like you, like we discussed with your four kids going in all different directions and all of that sort of stuff. So what do you think about it? I mean, there's also been some discussion in the group regarding audiobooks as a replacement for bedtime reading, you know, with a parent. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, I certainly look, there's four kids. I don't read to all of them every night.
No.
All four of our kids go to sleep. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I was talking about this on Instagram last night. All four of our children go to sleep listening to Rachel Spratt on Bedtime Stories by R.A. Spratt.
And I
I often have to walk around the house at 2 a.m. and turn off all of the Googles because I just cannot stand listening to Rachel at 2 a.m. Sorry, Rachel.
God, love you, Rachel.
But the eldest two, the girls, they listen to audiobooks a lot. The problem with listening to an audiobook at night is they then fall asleep, which I find as well. But absolutely, I do think they can be a replacement. I mean, one of the things that I always bang on about and still believe is true is that bedtime books are about physical connection between a child and a parent. So I will always try and read to the kids every couple of nights, but the reality is I can't. And so I absolutely think audiobooks in the bedroom are fantastic.
And as a rotation thing, exactly. When you've got several kids, like if you kind of do one night and move around the house, so to speak, and also have a couple of nights off.
Absolutely, that's right. But you know what? I love going to sleep listening to Stephen Fry and David Tennant. Like, Stephen Fry talks me to sleep most nights.
Well, let's talk about that, because one thing I wanted to say about audiobooks, and this is really important, is that narrators matter. And I'm going to say that from personal experience because I've listened to a couple of books recently, just, you know, whilst I've been gardening and doing my various things. And one of them, the narrator irritated me so much that I just couldn't even finish the book. Like I got three chapters in and was like, I cannot listen to this voice anymore. And I'm currently listening to one at the moment, which is pretty close to being the same. It's just, there's something about the narration that is just really irritating me. So one of the questions that we recently got in Your Kids Next Read was for a parent who was looking for audiobooks for 7 to 10 year olds, and the specifically said the narrator matters. I'm looking for good narrators. And so there's a terrific list in there, and I'm going to share some of them, which we'll put in the show notes, which you'll find at yourkidsnextread.com. But these are some of the recommendations for 7 to 10 year olds. Kate Winslet narrating The Faraway Tree. Isla Fisher reading her own series, Marge in Charge. Dawn French reading Neil Gaiman's Coraline, which to me would be the top end of that age group. David Tennant reading How to Train Your Dragon. Aisha Kayla reading Tilly and the Book Wanderers, which is the first in the Pages and Co. series. Michael Horden's narration of The Wind in the Willows. For an alternative to Stephen Fry's Harry Potter, which is a bit of a benchmark for many, but also some people commented on the fact that his plummy voice drove them crazy. And the recommendation there was Jim Dale, who also, he narrates a lot of the sort of UK books and has a great narration. Stig Weems reading the Treehouse series. Chris Jenner reading Mr. Bambuckle's Remarkables. Rupert Grint reading the Tom Gates series. Stockard Channing, Rizzo from Greece, reading the Ramona series. Is apparently,
are you kidding me?
Apparently amazing. I'm just telling you, it's out there. I know. I'd listen to her voice. I love her voice.
Oh. Neil, I'm all over that now.
Well, we need to find it, don't we? Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris reads Henry Huggins. Rosalind Odes reads the Polly and Buster series. And Tim Curry reads Lemony Snicket. Then we had some authors reading their own books, apart from Isla Fisher. Richard Roxburgh, hello, reads Artie and the Grime Wave. I could listen to that.
Sorry, I didn't even particularly like the book, but I listened to to listen to his voice.
My boys loved that book.
Oh, no.
They loved it.
Couldn't get into it.
Absolutely loved it. Alan Brough reading Charlie and the War on the Grannies, which I would listen to as well. I do like his voice. And Jacqueline Harvey reading Kenzie and Max got a big rap as well.
Yes.
And for older readers, apparently his Dark Materials trilogy, narrated by Philip Pullman himself and with a full cast of actors performing the dialogue, is a massive treat for older readers or for adults.
I would, I would listen to that one. I'm going to put that one on my list.
And anyway, there's so many more. If you visit Your Kids Next Read on Facebook and use the search function to find threads on audiobooks, you will find many, many options for your kids of all different ages. So that's our audiobook discussion. I've got into that more than I thought I was going to. Excited by that. All right, let's look at our quick tips. What have you got on quick tips for this week, Megan?
Well, it's interesting. We just talked about bedtime books because I've had two people in the last week email me about a similar thing. Basically, you've got a 5-6 year old who you want to, who are starting to read independently. And so you still want to read to them at night, but you also want to start to help them to move into a space where they can also read independently at night. So I've got a few tips on that. I have always read the first chapter of a book to all of the kids, and then I leave it next to their bed, fully expecting that if they were engaged with the first chapter, that they'll pick it up and keep reading. And I have always found that works incredibly well with all of the kids. I read interactive books a lot, particularly now with the smallest B. There's a lot more, since he's come into my life, there is a lot more of those interactive books. I'm thinking about the Matt Stanton ones here, and things like Do Not Open This Book, you know, where they have to be a bit interactive with the book and read some of the words. I often read graphic novels with the kids at bedtime, which seems odd, but you're sitting so close to them so you can look at the illustrations at the same time that you're reading the words. But I'll often stop reading and ask them to read the illustrations and tell me some of the story. That works really well, and I think that helps to develop their ability to read the images. That's those visual literacy skills I often bang on about. And then I also do the page about thing where I say, okay, I'll read a page and then you read a page, and then I tend to fall asleep at some point and the child has to keep reading. So that certainly worked really well with the girls and with the small B. He's now reading really well independently, still likes to be read to, and I love reading to all of the kids still. But, yeah, I find, look, falling asleep is a great strategy to get them to do a bit of independent reading.
And also helps you as well.
Absolutely. I am tired all of the time.
Well, I've got three tips, and these are based on a blog post that I wrote in 2014. Can we just think about how many years I've been writing this stuff for? What I've realized is I wrote this because I had set up a series of children's writing workshops, and it was an ongoing writing group that I was doing at the boys' primary school at that time. Like, I had this sort of idea that I would turn up every week and there would be all of these kids, you know, just desperate to soak up every, you know, sort of pearl of writerly wisdom that I threw their way. But in actual fact, it's you know, like the reality of any of that stuff is quite different. And, you know, a lot of the time what I was saying to them was like, you know, this is a great idea, but part of your job as a writer is to ensure that the reader can actually read what you're writing. So I'd be getting these kind of bits of stuff on scraps of paper. And so because what I found was that, and I think any kids writing group will be very similar, they just want to throw their ideas about and you know, and read their work out loud to great applause. They don't actually want to listen to me bang on about how to use a quote mark and the importance of legible handwriting, which is, you know, a bit disappointing for me, but that's the way it goes. But the three things that I was talking to them about regularly, like on a weekly basis, are also the sorts of three things that I continue to talk about, mm-hmm. you know, all of these years later in my, when I do feedback for my kids' creative writing quest for the Australian Writers Centre, all of the things that they just constantly underpinning. So those three things are, number one, use the best words you know in your descriptions. And the best word is not always the most complicated word. It is not always the three-syllable word. So I would do an exercise with them every week where I would give them a word, something boring, tree, sand, road, green, nose, hair, something like that, and they had to write down three words to describe that word. So, you know, sand, crunchy, you know, sandy, whatever, like however, whatever they sort of came up with. The results of it were always quite interesting. And the third word that they came up with, the one they had to think very, very hard about, was generally better than the first one that they came up
with.
Right. But it wasn't necessarily the most complicated word they came up with. But if they thought hard about it, they could come up with a slightly, with their own version, their own voice way to describe a tree rather than what they'd read everywhere else. I think that was what the key to it was to get them thinking a little bit laterally beyond what they think, how they think they should describe a tree, into how they can describe a tree in a different way that's actually their way of describing it. The second thing I always talk to them about was that a fragment is not a short story, that they have to aim for a beginning, a middle, and an end, even if they're only writing 200 words. And that's something that young writers often get sort of lost with, is that they just forget the structure of the short story requires them to actually finish it, not just to write 200 words that go nowhere. So we talked about that quite a lot. And then the third tip that I always give in writers' groups is that writers write. So I would give them a journal, and to keep their place in the group, that particular group, they had to write in it at least once a week. Now, I didn't necessarily read it unless they asked me to, and they usually did because they want feedback. Like, they're desperate for validation and sort of just someone to be interested in what's coming out of their brain. So I would usually read it. But the point of that exercise is to create a writing habit. So, you know, some of them were writing in that particular group, were writing ongoing sagas. Like, there was, like, you know, epic adventure stories, and some of them would write a three-line description of their weekend. But that was all, both of those are equally fine. Because lots of writers like to talk about writing, but they actually, you know, forget that it has to be the actual writing bit also has to be done. So those are the three tips. And I'll put a link to that post in the show notes so that you can, you know, have a look at them written down. But yeah, I think it's interesting because it is the same stuff over and over again. And that's, you know, I think if you kind of keep telling them the same stuff over and over again, eventually it does actually sink in somewhere, I think. Well, that's what I tell myself anyway.
That's what you hope.
And in saying that, I've actually been writing. So I'm actually practicing what I preach at the moment, which is quite exciting for me. And I'm almost ready to submit a new manuscript. So I do hope that you'll all send good vibes my way as I press that send button. But what are you up to this week, Megan?
Well, I am just waiting patiently or not so patiently for my parents to come and pick up Chickpea. She is off camping with them at Ooh. Crow's Nest for a few days, and she has packed her Swiss Army knife, her multi-tool and her spear, which she whittled herself.
That's fantastic. So she's ready for anything.
She's ready for anything, and I noticed she also put a face mask on top of that little pile of goodness. So she's ready. So I say good luck to my parents, and I'm looking forward to having one less child in the mix for a few days. So never thought I'd be saying that, but, you know, just take one out and everything is so much easier.
How good are your parents, though? I hate camping. Like, I'm just going to put that out there.
Actually, it was quite funny. She said to me, I said to her this morning, oh, I wish I could come with you, darling. Kind of a nice parent. And she just looked at me and like,
did she just say, no, you don't, Mom?
She said, no, you don't. You hate camping. And I was like, I do. But I'll miss you.
Yes, I'll really miss you in the mix for 3 days. That'll be terrible, terrible. All right, Megan, well, that's us done for this week. Where can people find you online if they want to connect further with the wonderful Megan Daly?
You can find me at childrensbooksdaily.com or on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at the same.
And you'll find me at alisontate.com. You'll find me on Twitter at Al Tate. And you'll find me on Facebook and Instagram at Alison Tate Writer. And we will look forward to having another conversation, which we hope you will join next week. See you later.
See ya.